This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, The Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And you are with Vic Police Community Hour. And the team today is actually an even better... Well, it's a good team. It's a great team. We've been around for a while. It's the partnership between Victoria Police and Gabby Tyack's here today. Hello. Welcome, Gabby.
We're going to have to change the intro, the Gabby and Scott, to Gabby and Electra.
Well, you are, because Electra Williams is taking over the role as the subject matter expert in community area of Victoria Police, which is fantastic.
She's a new sergeant.
New sergeant. Congratulations. To her.
Hopefully she's listening today.
But she's not here today. But I'm Greg Akins from the Anti-Violence Project, and I head the AVP in the gay community with a range of people around me. And we're two of the partners. Joy 94.9 is a really principal partner of this partnership and relationship.
And Crime Stoppers, of course.
And Joe Baird and the team at Crime Stoppers Victoria. So we'll be doing some Crime Stoppers today. We'll talk about happenings in Victoria Police. We'll talk about the Anti-Violence Project and some big things that took place over the last 2 weeks.
Big things.
But most importantly, we want to talk to you, because this partnership is only here for you and relies on you to be part of the conversations we have.
And we have a question we want to ask you. We'd like you to respond today, don't we, Greg?
We do.
What was that question?
The question is, we've got some, we're going to talk a little bit, and shortly we'll talk with Rob Cam, the outgoing president of Vic Bears, who raised a lot of money for the Anti-Violence Project over the last year. And we're going to talk a little bit about the things you'd like to see happen in your community to support what you feel should take place when we talk about violence and we deal with homophobia, prejudice, crime, harassment against us, and also violence that takes place between people in relationships in gay community and lesbian community as well.
Yeah, because the GLOWS are here to support you and assist you in reporting crime and violence to police, but there's also another avenue of reporting, and that's through the Anti-Violence Project. So it's a great initiative that you've had going for probably about 15 years.
We're in our 16th year now. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great thing. So you're able to get online and report crime without contacting the police, and that information can be forwarded to the police if you like, and we can get stats from that, and we can assist you through that method.
So we've got some ideas. We'll talk about what we're doing now. When we come back, we're going to talk with Rob Cam about some of the great things they did leading us to the AVP having greater capacity to be funded and do work. It's a question about people holding on to things that are important to them and making a difference. And that's our song, actually. We've got a song by Lisa Stanfield and the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels called People Hold On here on the Vic Police Community Hour. Stay with us. And you're here on the Vic Police Community Hour with Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project, Gabby Tyack from the Northwest Regional GLOW office. And we've got a special guest on the line. We actually have Rob Cam, who's recently retired as the president of the Vic Bears. Hello, Rob. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Greg, and yourself? And hello, Gabby.
Hi, Rob. Very well indeed. Yeah. And we want to, look, first of all, pay tribute to you. You retired a week ago from Vic Bears. You were the president. And did you retire or did you just not nominate?
There was a coup, I think. No, not at all. We don't have those antics in the bear community. No, after 3 years of being on the committee and the last year as president, decided to step aside and do some other things in my life. My career is very demanding at the moment, and my husband's pretty demanding, but not so much. And there was some new energy and guys wanting to get involved, so happy not to be on the committee this year, but still supporting the club as I do as an active member and helping out here and there. So, it was just sort of taking a little break for a while, but who knows? Maybe back. You never say never in the bear community.
Rob, you left on a high, raising a lot of money for the Anti-Violence Project.
Yeah, we did, Gabby. It was a fantastic result that we achieved throughout mainly our Southern High of the Nation event in June, where we were partnered up with AVP. And we had targeted to raise $15,000, and we did that, which was great. So we were very excited to achieve our goal there.
You raised more. You raised more.
We did. Well, we got the $15,000 that we wanted for you guys, but we actually came out at the other end with $20,000.
Wow.
We paid all the bills. And so it put us in the great position of being able to choose another local charity. And we had those $5,000 donated in memory of one of our members who passed away a few weeks back, who worked at our Victorian AIDS Council and was quite close and supportive of them. So in his name, in Paul Holton's name, we donated the extra $5,000 to Vic AIDS. So $20,000.
Wow.
Record-breaking result. We didn't know we were going to get that much until our treasurer had sort of done all the numbers and paid all the bills and got it all sort of wrapped up. But we were delighted with that outcome, certainly for hibernation, which added to some fundraising we'd done throughout the year as well. So it was nearly $27,000 for 12 months, which is a monumental effort from the whole community and our team and everyone who dug deep throughout all, you know, throughout the events and bought raffle tickets or threw a gold coin in here and there and came along and bought tickets to our activities really helped that fantastic
Rob,
so we couldn't be happier.
Absolutely brilliant work. And what it does, you know, from the AVP's perspective, Rob, is that it's a multiplying effect. The $15,000 that comes to AVP is probably going to deliver around about $80,000 of work when it ends up over the year, that's directly responsible for the efforts that you guys did at Vic Bears. And, which is just incredible. We're broadening our network right across the state of people through AVP Connect. We're able then to sustain training for people in different parts of the state and support them to be truly good representatives for their local communities. And it's going to enable people right across the state to step up and chip away at the really poor levels of reporting of violence that we face in gay and lesbian community.
I think that's why, Greg, when we initially spoke with you and AVP about partnering with you, is that we always want to choose charities where we know the money is going to have the most maximum impact. And certainly other non-profits that may not get a lot of funding from other sources and can really use thousands of dollars to put the good work out there in the community. And I think, you know, the great work that you and AVP do is fantastic, and to know it's going to have that ongoing perpetual impact makes us feel, you know, really proud of you know, what we could do there.
Well done.
So that's a delight.
Now, we're asking people today, what do they need to have happen to make it easier for them to report violence? If they're listening to this show, SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And what do you need to make it easier for you to engage and report what happens in your lives to make a difference for other people? Rob, can I ask you that? What do you think in your circle and with you, what would make it easier for you to step up and report violence that you see taking place, or that you know is happening in the lives of people around you, close to you in the Vic Bears community?
I think what makes it easy, Greg, and comfortable for people to do that is know that there's people there that you have a connection with and maybe a rapport, or feel comfortable being able to talk about these issues, because they can be quite sensitive to many, or embarrassing, or not wanting to cause trouble by raising it there. And I think, you know, we try and do that within our, in the Bear community, and creating those connections face-to-face. And so much is done online these days and on a keyboard, but nothing can really beat, creating opportunities where you can actually just sit down with someone, whether it's at one of our pub events or non-bar event or over coffee, and just talk to people and creating that openness. And I think that's the challenge in, you know, an organisation with AVP, is having those people out there, as you have, you know, in the field and across the state and online and on the phone, where people feel comfortable to be able to open up and have those discussions. I think more of that will certainly help.
Wise words, Rob. Wise words. And we thank you for your leadership of Vic Bears. Who did you pass the mantle to?
It went to our secretary, previous secretary, Peter Unby, who has been on the committee for many years. He's a great guy and a real trooper, and been in the club for many years, so he knows the ropes very well. So he stepped up and said, okay, I'll play president, and got a great team with him as well, who've come from the club and been members, and some have been past committee members years ago. So they're getting together now, sorting out the year ahead, and it's going to be another awesome year for Vic Bears.
Wonderful. Now, it's only a week or so since you handed over the mantle, but I bet you can still remember how people can contact the Vic Bears. What's the email address?
Well, the website is a good place to go to read more about the club, vicbears.org.au. And, of course, we're active on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a group. call. We have a lot of discussions and members posting up stuff. And it's non-members too, just people who associate with the community. And we're on Twitter too. So just search Vic Bears and you'll find us on all those platforms.
Rob Cam, immediate past president of Vic Bears, and one of the main momentums behind the development of all that funding stream for the Anti-Violence Project. We thank you very much for joining us on the Vic Police Community Hour.
Not a problem. Thank you, and have a great day. Thanks, Greg and Gabby.
Cheers,
thanks,
mate. Rob. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.
You're on the Vic Police Community Hour. This is Greg Hankins with Gabby Tyack on Joy 94.9's Vic Police Community Hour. This is the Victoria Police Community Hour. Greg Hankins from the Anti-Violence Project with Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police Northwest Region GLOWS.
Crime Stoppers today. Crime Stoppers is searching for a man who is believed to have exposed himself on a city-bound Lilydale line train on the 13th of May this year. At about 1:30 p.m, the man sat down opposite a woman on a train at Lilydale Railway Station. It is alleged the man exposed himself to the woman and continued to expose himself until she got off the train at Box Hill. He then followed the victim off the train. The man's described as aged in his early 20s with a dark complexion and short, curly black hair. He was wearing a green jacket, blue jeans, reading glasses, and was carrying a black satchel. And we've released images of this man, whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. And the reference is CA6325.
It's pretty important to for anyone that might be travelling home on the Lilydale line out on the eastern suburbs to perhaps grab hold of this. These people here, individuals that we won't, you know, this guy is wanted for questioning. We don't know if he did do it or didn't do it, but people that do expose themselves are about removing a person's power. They're taking away power from a person and making themselves feel much more powerful. And in the process, someone's left diminished and unsafe. And the woman in this particular case would feel very unsafe about travelling on public transport. And she's had her liberties and her rights taken away by this this incident. So it's very important that people check this out. And
yeah, and often this type of behaviour escalates into more offensive behaviour and even assaults. So we really need to speak to this man and we need your help to identify him. So the reference again is CA6325. Get across to the Crime Stoppers website at crimestoppers.com.au.
Now, Gab, it strikes me this is the question we're asking people today to step up. What would make it easier for you to step up? If you were on the transport anywhere, public transport, rail, tram or train, and someone was exposing themselves, would you stay silent? Would you either approach the person or make a loud noise so everyone heard on the tram or train? Or would you get on the phone, 000, and call police so they're waiting wherever that tram, train or bus arrived?
Yes, I mean, if it's a dangerous situation and you think someone's really at risk of some kind of assault or injury, it depends on who you are and how capable you think you are. We don't urge people to intervene like that because they may get hurt as well. But there's certainly call 000 on the trains and trams. There's usually access to an emergency button or access to either the conductor, depending on what kind of train you're on, or the driver of the train. But you've always got 000, and there's always someone with a phone if you don't have one yourself.
Now, yesterday I was travelling down Swanston Street, and there was a tram where a young woman had pushed and assaulted a man and was yelling and threatening other people on the tram. And now, as you approach the driver to let him know, because their radio control links to their control room. As you approach the driver, there's always a number nearby on the inside of the tram. You give him the tram number and you take note of that and ask him to call his control room, and then you ring police and give them the tram number, the destination, and police can usually rendezvous with that tram further down the destination. Now, similarly on the rail, every rail carriage has a number on the carriage near the doors as you're leaving. If there's an incident, find that number, ring 000 and give them the number that's on the carriage of the train service that you're on, and between the rail service and the police, they'll be able to track it down and be awaiting at one of the platforms further down the line.
And don't think that someone else is going to ring, so you don't need to. You should be ringing. It doesn't matter if the emergency services receive 20 phone calls about the same incident. If you don't ring, maybe no one else has rung, and no one, the police are unaware of the situation.
So this was a willful and obscene exposure on the Lilydale line, 13th of May 2012. And what's the reference number, please, Gavin?
CA6325.
And remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Vic Police Community Hour. Our names are Senior Constable Gabby Tyack from the Northwest Regional GLOWS, Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project, and, of course, you're the most important part of this partnership with with us.
And don't forget, we would like your input on what we can do to make reporting crimes or family violence easier, whether it's to police or other services.
A bit of a song for you now, here on Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au.
And listen to us every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock. This week it's Community Hour. Next week, the Community Hour presents the very special monthly version of Lesbians Matter. And you'll be on again next week, Gabby
Tyke. Myself and Leni Fabry will be on, Fabry. And we've got someone from Gay and Lesbian Switchboard coming in and maybe someone from a law firm locally in Melbourne as
Wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful. Mark that in your diary. And that voice is Senior Constable Gabby Tyke, Northwest Regional GLOW. How long have you been a GLOW for, Gab?
4.5 years, and it's been four and a half years full time. And I was a GLOW at Bacchus Marsh when I was a uniform member down there, so probably 6.5 years, I'd say, altogether.
Wonderful. And we also have supporting people in Bacchus Marsh. We have rolling out this week and next is AVP at Bacchus Marsh, which is
really?
The part of antiviolence.info, which is the AVP Connect program right across the state.
Fantastic.
You'll hear more about that. Now, we've had some information as well from Vic Police News. So,
yeah.
What's happening today?
Did you notice on the news last night that there'd been a shooting by police in Vermont? Did you see that?
Out near, just past Nunawading, Vermont.
Mm. Well, police continue to investigate the circumstances surrounding the police shooting in Vermont yesterday afternoon, where a dog squad member observed an allegedly stolen Subaru speeding in a bus lane west along Canterbury Road in Heathmont around 3:15. So this is just when school's coming out, so a dangerous time to be speeding along a road. The Subaru continued through a red light and collided with a civilian vehicle. Police continued to follow the Subaru from a distance as it turned into Little Way in Vermont and drove into a residential driveway. That's when the police followed the vehicle into the driveway and stopped behind the car. The canine member directed the driver to get out of the car, and the driver of the other vehicle started to do a three-point turn manoeuvre to try to get out of the driveway and then drove at the police officer, who had to shoot to protect himself and shot the driver in the arm. And the 17-year-old male driver was conveyed to the Royal Melbourne Hospital in a stable condition, and the female passenger is currently assisting police with their inquiries.
Now, let's make a bit of a point here. Police don't actually discharge their weapon unless their lives are threatened. They can shoot to stop an offence.
Mm-hmm.
They can shoot to stop themselves being killed. But
yes.
they don't just wing the person to try
right.
and stop them committing a parking offence, do
yeah,
they?
If their life or someone else's life is in serious danger of serious injury or death, then we respond using the least amount of force necessary. But in these circumstances, he's being driven at by the offender, and you know it's a Subaru. I don't know whether it was four-wheel drive, and it's a deadly weapon, basically.
If you're on the foot as a police member, you've drawn your gun, you've got a car driving towards you, and remember, this man's innocent until proven guilty. You know, he's been shot. He's obviously in observation hospital. He'll be released. He'll be charged. Probably a bedside charge, but he's innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk in general. If a car's coming at you, you've drawn your gun. Do you have to? Can you just shoot anywhere at the vehicle, or do you have to sight and shoot at the largest target you can get of the
person?
We're
taught not to shoot at vehicles. We're taught to shoot at people at the largest body part of the body mass, which is the chest area. So it's been proven that shooting at vehicles is usually very ineffective. It's not going to stop the car. Even if you shoot the tyres, it usually the vehicle is still able to move and it will keep driving. So you're not really stopping a danger by shooting at a vehicle. So I'm sure he's been aiming at the person, but I'm not sure if the person was still in the vehicle at the time. It probably that would be the case if it was driven at him.
Now, every time a person is injured by a member of a police force, that's quite a serious thing. There's usually an investigation.
Absolutely.
When a discharge of a gun takes place. Mm. So what sort of investigation is taking place over this one?
Yeah, because of this shooting, the crime department detectives overseen by our ethical standards department are investigating this incident to make sure that the police acted in the best way and with their training and made sure that was the last response or the most appropriate response to the circumstances that were in front of this officer.
Oh, it's so, quite appropriate.
Yeah, so if you were in the area yesterday around Vermont and Heathmont Road, Canterbury Road, Heathmont, heading into Little Way in Vermont, we would love to hear from you to get some information if you witnessed this vehicle, if you witnessed the shooting, anything like that. So contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
And I think the young man involved will be in a little bit of trouble because there's even more charges. He's 17 and driving without displaying his L plates, or even having a senior person with a fully licensed in front of them sitting in his passenger seat. So there's a range of Vic Rhodes infringements that will exactly. come his way. And as well, he's got to nurse his arm because he drove at a police member, alleged to have thrown at a police member and put him in danger and ended up being shot in the process. So he has to recover from the injury too.
Certainly things could have been a lot worse with the speeding offences, driving through red lights, driving at a police officer, the police officer having to shoot. No one was killed. There's an injury, but it could have certainly been a lot worse. And, you know, no day is boring when you're a police officer, and this is just one of the things that can happen.
Gabby, look, thanks for bringing that to a really interesting story, a really interesting story. Now, we've got another one that's a bit of a juxtaposition to that.
I thought it might be nice to put some amusing police stories from different countries, because our police stories are usually so serious. Here's some amusing ones. So what's this one about, Greg?
This is from the Marion County in America.
It's in Florida.
Oh, Florida, okay, in the southern states. And it's a woman has been in a chase and she fled from the police because she was topless, the police deputies say. Now, it says that a woman led police on a car chase in North Marion County on Saturday because she was driving topless and on her way to a surprise her boyfriend, according to reports. Now, Mandy Ramsey was 35 years of age, of Fort McCoy, and she was speeding south on County Road 318 in a Ford F-250 pickup truck when a patrol car chased after her to pull her over, according to the county sheriff's office report. And what happened then, Gab?
She's run through a stop sign, she's hit an oak tree, and then parked in the driveway of her boyfriend's home. So the patrol cars found the car in the driveway, spoken to the owner, which is the woman's boyfriend, who said, "I haven't been out driving in the last 2 hours, so it wasn't me." And she's then admitted to the deputies that she didn't stop because she was driving topless and wanted to surprise her boyfriend.
Well, there you go.
So have you ever done that? Have you ever driven topless, Greg, to surprise your boyfriend?
No, I've driven naked before.
Have you?
Yeah, I went surfing and I drove in the nude to go back to the farmhouse after surfing. I didn't want to... And I didn't have to stop for petrol along the way, which is quite
thank
good
goodness.
For them.
But I tell you what, I think every police officer would have a story about something similar to this. And I remember when I was working in New South Wales, after a night shift on the weekend along the northern beaches, you often have, you know, people running down the road naked because they're so intoxicated, they don't know what they're doing, and having to wrestle and tackle a drunk naked male to the ground to put him in the back of the divvy van is not my idea of a fun Saturday.
Well, when I did it, I was very much naked and sacred, and guess what? That's the name of NS song, Naked and Sacred by Cheyenne Phillips, here on Joy 94.9 Vic Police Community Hour. You're on the Vic Police Community Hour. Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project is my name, and I'm here with Northwest Region Glow, Gabby Tyack.
We've got another Crime Stoppers crime for
excellent,
you.
Excellent, Gabby.
Police wish to speak with two men allegedly involved in criminal damage to Metro train property at various Melbourne locations. It's alleged the men have been actively involved in criminal damage to Metro trains in the past 18 months, with damage to property estimated to be more than $100,000. Now, we've released images of the two men, whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. And I don't know about you, Greg, but they look like the same person to me. So they're either very similar looking friends or brothers or twins, in my opinion.
Now, criminal damage on Metro trains, what would they be doing? How can you accumulate $100,000 worth of damage, Gabs?
I would think that they'd be spray painting graffiti. That would be what I'm thinking they're doing.
It could be spray painting. One man has a black bag. He's got a beanie over his head that clearly is above his face. You can see his face, which he'd pulled down, and he's garbed in black. Maybe the bag would even be for copper stripping. Maybe he's hopping off the train and walking along the line and stripping copper out of the wires along the line of the station.
I think that would be reported as a theft if he was doing that. So it's either spray painting graffiti or actually doing damage to the trams by, you know, cutting things or breaking things, but probably graffiti. But they've been doing it over the last 18 months at various Melbourne sites. So they're obviously active and we'd need you to have a look at CA6175 and help us identify them. They look at the guy, if you look at the images, he looks a little bit like, you know, a cross between Eric Banner and Johnny Depp when he's wearing his glasses.
I think it's pretty close. Check it out. CA6175 on the Crime Stoppers website, which is crimestoppers.com.au.
And remember, we don't need to know who you are, just who they are.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, during the week, you would have seen, perhaps even on the Sunday papers in the Sunday Age, you would have seen a discussion with the government about backing down from their hard line against youth offenders. There was a proposal that young people that offended and committed crimes would have a no leniency approach to them. There'd be no more, I suppose, diversion for young people. They'd be smacked on the wrist and sent straight to jail, basically. Two strikes, three strikes, you're out. There's a bit of a backdown on the weekend, and we welcome that. The Anti-Violence Project welcomes that, certainly from community, about using diversion to try and divert young people who are starting to go down the wrong path back on the path they should be around committing offences.
Yeah.
Now, our challenge for government, we believe, is around diversion should be applying for young people as well, around homophobic violence, prejudice crime, and that sort of stuff. So we start to capture not only the ability of people to step up and report more, but we are going to be able to change young people's values and the norms that they hold that are being sent down the wrong path around allowing homophobic violence.
Unfortunately, young people are overrepresented in their crime stats, and this has been going on for quite a long time, and they are known to be often recidivists, which means if they commit one crime, they're committing 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 crimes.
But if you're a young person, Gab, and your whole, say you're a young male, 16, 17, 15 at that, and your whole social net are homophobic around you, and you're out in a group of mates, they have a few drinks before they head out, they're a bit pissy, and they go out and they create havoc, or they use homophobic slurs, or they harm or damage people's property, or they graffiti. This other one's graffiti, just general graffiti, perhaps. But what if they're out there doing homophobic graffiti, or offending people, or shouting, or punching up, or there's violence, physical violence against gays or lesbians taking place because of the group they're part of?
And that's where we ask the one person who doesn't want to be involved in that violence and behaviour to come forward and report that violence to police or to the Anti-Violence Project or Crime Stoppers.
Now, you can't comment because you're a member of Victoria Police, you're a public servant, but the AVP certainly has a line to take. We're lobbying with the Police Minister and the Baillieu Government to try and ensure that homophobic violence and homophobia and crime and vilification that takes place is also subject to diversion, so we can divert young people when it takes place and not just rely on a very slow trickle down for societal change around homophobia.
Well, at the end of 2009, the Sentencing Act changed, which amended information so that if there was any kind of prejudice involved in a crime and that person was found guilty of those offences, that there would be an additional penalty added to the penalty that would normally be given without the prejudice involved. So things are changing in government at social levels, and we're trying to keep up with those standards to make sure that if there are incidents where prejudice involved, particularly with our community, that's what we're focused on, that we respond appropriately, and law is changing to make sure that we do. But you must report these things first before any of these sentences can come into place and the people are punished or educated, if that's the right way to deal with it.
So it's about a partnership then. So you police can't just do your job unless we're talking about what's happening. You can't be allocated to go to a burglary unless we know it's taking place.
Exactly.
If there's a bashing on Swanson Street, you know, in 5 minutes' time, if no one steps up and talks about it to 000 or calls the local police, no one knows it took place and they can't respond next week when the same perpetrators are back at the same time.
And that's why contacting your GLOWs and reporting these things to them, if you're not calling 000 or your local police station, we urge you to do that. And also Crime Stoppers and the Anti-Violence Project, we need to make sure we record these crimes and these statistics so that we can send out our troops and our police to the appropriate areas and respond and make sure they don't happen to other people.
Now, you also have another little tale, I think, that you've managed to find. Tell me about this one.
Well, this is from Police Life, and so it's a every second month, the Victoria Police puts out this interesting magazine with interesting stories about what's going on within Victoria Police, but also police forces around the world. And one little story I found interesting, because so often we identify offenders because of fingerprints, photographs, footprints, all those sorts of things, but I've never heard of someone being identified from an earprint. And in Germany, a man was linked to 96 burglaries after German police identified the earprints he allegedly left while listening at doors. It turns out his earprints can be used in evidence, and the man apparently pressed his ear to the front doors to see if anyone was home before allegedly carrying out the thefts. So earprints can be used.
Very clever.
So yeah. I wonder if Victoria Police has any interesting stories like that. I'm going to ask around and try to get someone in to have a chat about that.
How fascinating is that?
And it wasn't even against glass. It was on a wooden door. They were able to get earprint prints off that and then identify the man. So very interesting. Where people are keeping up with technology and getting ahead and making sure we use everything we can to identify criminals.
So we've had fingerprints, we've now got earprints. I wonder if, you know, there's a songer called Sia. A singer called Sia that likes clapping her hands. I wonder if there's clap prints or something like that. We've actually got Sia for you now with Clap Your Hands here on Joy 94.9. This is the Vic Police Community Hour. You are listening to Joy 94.9, it's the Vic Police Community Hour, which is a partnership between Victoria Police, GLOWS, the Anti-Violence Project, Crime Stoppers, Joy 94.9, but most importantly, you. So any information you hear today, or if it whets your appetite to be involved in the Anti-Violence Project, let us know. VicAVP@antiviolence.info is a great way to be involved.
Or if you're interested in a career in Victoria Police, get on to vicpolicecareers.com.au.
Wonderful. And Crime Stoppers is crimestoppers.org.au, and you can always give them a call on 1-800-333-000, which you can do for this as well, because we're about to talk about a theft in Melbourne on the 10th of February 2011, about 18 months ago. And around about 8:30 a.m. on that day, which is a Thursday morning, a woman entered a 7-Eleven in Bourke Street, Melbourne, and allegedly stole a bag belonging to a mentally impaired customer. Now, police have released an image of the woman they believe may be able to assist them with their inquiries, and it's quite a stark picture as well. She's behind the counter. You can see her there with the Chupa Chups right in front of her, and the teller. It's literally down the road, 50 metres here from City Village in Bourke Street, where this took place. And the fact that she found a mentally impaired customer and was able to get her conscience around the fact that she was taking from someone that was in need and stole their bag is just appalling.
It is. And she looks quite young. I would say she's late teens, early 20s. Would you say that?
I think you're pretty right. You can check out CA5431 on the crimestoppers.com.
She's out there somewhere, so help us identify her and make sure she doesn't do this again. I've also got a wanted person.
Oh, who's that?
Simon Keith Poole. It's alleged Poole was involved in a burglary in Wonthaggi in May this year, and a warrant has been issued for his arrest. He was born on the 17th of October 1973. He's 172 centimetres tall with a medium build, hazel eyes, brown hair and a tan complexion. If you know someone going by the name of Simon Keith Poole, get onto the Crime Stoppers website and check out the photo. Let us know where he is. We know what he's done. We just don't know where he is.
And remember, with wanted people and with crime, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, if you're listening to the Vic Police Community Hour and you're in Thomastown, be very careful, because there's been a vehicle breakdown take place in the left-hand lane, which has now blocked the Altona-bound traffic after Dalton Road due to a breakdown. Traffic's heavy on the approach, and Vic Roads Incident Response Service is on its way to the scene. And drivers travelling through the area should perhaps allow for extra time. Now, is that part of your route that you go to get to your old stamping ground of Bacchus Marsh and round that way, or on the way to Geelong?
It could be. It depends on which way you go. You've just got to be careful with a broken down car, especially in this kind of weather. It's dark, it's rainy, it's wet. You're not expecting a car to be broken down in the lane you're travelling in or nearby. So just make sure you're careful, not just in that area on High Street in Thomastown, but anywhere you're travelling today.
So what about a tip for the punters, Gab, from you who's a serving member of the police force? You've worked out there, you've done that stuff. You had to pull out and you've seen an accident take place or a broken down car, and you've had to put your lights and flashes on to make it a bit more visible and safe for people. What are tips for drivers? If anyone from the GLBTI community is out there driving in these dreary conditions today and listening to our show, thank you for that. What are tips that they can have to make themselves safer and more visible?
If you were in an accident or if you're broken down?
Broken down.
There are things you can get that you can purchase and have available, like lights that flash that you can put on the roadway, big reflective signs that you can put on the roadway around behind your vehicle so that it's more visible. In weather like this, visibility is a problem. So you need to make sure you've got your flashing lights going, your hazards.
Well, even that alone, you've bought a car, you've never had to use the hazards. Do you know where the button is?
Exactly.
I've been in many cars where I haven't had to find out where the hazards are situated.
Yeah, and they can be hidden. It's weird how new cars or cars that you're not used to, the buttons that you are usually so evident and prominent aren't there. So that's a good point. Make sure you know where your hazard button is. And if it's in a dangerous area and you're concerned about your safety and you're unable to move it safely off the road, I'd get out of the vehicle and go somewhere safe if possible. You don't want to be in a car when a semi-trailer comes along and crashes up the back of it and you end up squashed. I was in an incident, or not involved in an incident, but a colleague in New South Wales attended a similar thing with a broken down car on a road. It was on a hill heading down towards a bridge, and they parked the police car behind that vehicle, and she's got out to talk to the other driver and was in between the two cars, and a car went up the back of the police car and she ended up losing a leg because she got squashed between the two cars.
So careful.
This is a police officer with a police van with all the lights on and everything. So it can happen to anyone. Be very careful.
Now, this has been the Vic Police Community Hour. We thank you for tuning in. Stay with us every week at 12 noon, 12 to 1. But next week, it's Lesbian Matters and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.